Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I'm joined by Susan Merchant. She's a techie mentor. I love that name. Susan is a virtual assistant coach and trainer who helps home-based entrepreneurs multiply their income by simplifying technology through coaching and training. And if you are a virtual assistant or thinking about joining the industry, you must be trained at some level. You can either learn it on your own or you can go the easier route and learn it from somebody else who's done it. You can't just hang your shingle out there and say, I'm a virtual assistant. It's a very difficult thing. When I say difficult, I need to back that up. It's not difficult, but it's a very complicated industry that we populate. And you need the help. You need the training. You need the coaching and the mentoring. So Susan started the Techie Mentor after several of her VA clients asked for coaching and training on the business skills and the technology that she was using and that they needed to get more clients and earn more money. And she realized very quickly that entrepreneurs should have the confidence and the knowledge to be self-sufficient when it comes to the technology that they rely on. Your WordPress website is certainly one of those things. So the Techie Mentor offers training and coaching to virtual assistants and entrepreneurs to help them build a successful business and, again, multiply their income. She makes it easy and she makes it fun. So today we're going to cover some very important topics, transitioning from employee to business owner, for one. The entrepreneurial mindset, not as easy as it sounds. Tips for getting started as a virtual assistant, how to find clients, and that all-important work and life balance. Susan, good morning. Welcome, and thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you so much, Denise, for that wonderful introduction. I'm very happy to be here, so thank you again for this opportunity.
Oh, it's always exciting talking with you. You've been with me here before when we had our Ask Denise teleseminar, and you gave some great tips and advice during that. So,
thank you.
What are we talking about today? Where would you like to start? Well, let me ask you this. Before we jump into it, tell people a little bit about yourself. I know they want to hear your story.
Okay, great. I will let you know. I'll let you in on the secret. I am a former corporate career woman, being in corporate America for well over 20 years, and I am an IT brat, so I've been in IT my entire career.
What does IT brat mean?
You know how they, I don't know, it's just a term I came up with because some people are like, God, how do you know so much? And I'm like, well, it's kind of bratty, you know what I mean? Because you,
right.
you take it for granted that people understand technology the kind of the same way you do,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and
that's
you forget that when you're talking to somebody that doesn't, like you and I can have a techie type conversation because we have similar backgrounds. But so somebody actually called me that you're kind of a techie brat. And I thought, okay, I understand what you mean because, you know, there are times when you forget. That hat gets on, right? And you just start talking. And then you're like, oh, wow. You know, people are like, what is she saying?
You know, I have that with my mother. You know, I'll be talking with my mom, and I will codify something, say, you're not going to understand this, but this is what had to happen for this to happen. And she's like, no, I don't understand it, but keep going. It's okay.
Right.
And she doesn't understand half of what I'm saying, so I try to break it down. But, you know, that reminder is always good. You know, not everybody knows what we know. And it's important that at some level they do understand it.
Especially in this industry because, one, you're virtual, and two, your entire business is based on technology. So,
it
are you still there?
If you're online.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm here.
I heard it click. So my story basically is, in a nutshell, my husband and I were blessed with a very late in life blessing and an unexpected blessing. And You know, it was great. I was an IT project manager for a Fortune, 500 company here locally, and it was great. I was in the IT project management world. I was in what's called the project management office, and I had very large projects underneath, multi-million-dollar software development projects that I managed. And obviously, when I became pregnant, I could kind of took a step back and transitioned mm-hmm. that to somebody else. And then I went on my lovely maternity leave for 3 months and came back to work. And when I came back, I was treated like, I lost half my brain. And they weren't giving me the same caliber of projects. They were giving
me
little itty bitty ones, that I could do in my sleep. And the world that I was in, it was very male dominated. And
it still is.
The tech world still is.
I mean, that's just a fact of life.
Yeah, and I just wasn't treated the same. I finally thought, I don't need this. And this was in the middle of the recession where people were losing their jobs constantly. But I just got to the point where I was tired of working for somebody else who made probably 10 times as much as I did. And granted, I was well paid, but she probably made 10 times as much as I did. And she couldn't manage her way out of a paper bag. And I just decided that I didn't want to do that anymore. Besides the fact that I was truly the one running the department, I just didn't have the salary or the title. And I decided, okay, I can do this. I'd never thought in my life about being an entrepreneur or a business owner. Never crossed my mind. And I just decided it had enough. And I didn't want my son to spend his life with, and he had a nanny. So, I mean, he didn't have it bad. He had a nanny. And I just didn't want him to spend his entire life. Like, my first son had grown up in daycare. I didn't want him to have to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking for something I could do virtually. And I thought, I work virtually all the time. I work with virtual teams across the world with project management. And I'm thinking, there's got to be something I can do with my skill set. And I stumbled upon virtual project management. And I'm like, well, that's really what I do now, and I really don't want to work, right? Because, I could have easily done a contract job and worked from home, but that's not what I wanted to do because I'm still working for somebody else, which they determine how much I make when I work,
right.
If I have to travel, all that kind of stuff. So long story short, I stumbled upon virtual assistants and started doing my research, and I thought, well, God, I could do that. Even though I hadn't been an admin in, 20-plus years, I had the skills. Plus, I had the technology knowledge, and I knew I could learn anything I needed to learn because that was something I used to do as well as, teach software. And, I just started doing my research, and I decided I was going to do it, and I built my business while I worked my corporate career. I did it weekends, nights, lunch hour, and, I worked probably for 9 months to a year before I could actually leave my corporate job. And then I realized, all the mistakes I had made when I came home and was relying solely on my VA business to support me, I realized
right.
that they'd done some things not the right way. And then I just kind of, I looked for, coaching or training or anything like that, but I couldn't find anything because there's just a lot of stuff out there.
There is, and it seems to be very scattered. There are a few places you can go. But I've never really found any one solution, I have to say.
Right.
In this industry, we're kind of on our own. It's getting better. It is getting better. But when I first started out, when you started out, we were just on our own. We had to figure it out, use our common sense, use our business background, and then make the decision to sink or swim. So we swam.
Exactly. Yeah, as I told my husband, I'd rather live under a bridge then go back to work for somebody else. So it was failure's not an option. It's not. And
no,
I'll do whatever
not.
I have to make it work.
Jean
right?
Krantz
so,
said that. Apollo 13, mm-hmm. Jean Krantz. I love Jean Krantz.
I know.
But it's so true. Failure is not an option. You get out of bed every day and you do what you need to do and you just, I don't know about you, I just always assumed that I would really, really do well. It was never a thought process in my brain that I would fail.
Right.
Even though you have
right.
many failures all day long, through the course of your day, through the course of your week, your month, your year, you've got nothing but little mini failures. But you go, well, that didn't work. Let me break it this way and see if I can put it back this way. So
right.
you have to that mindset. Get in, break it, put it back together.
Right. And a lot of people, they look at it as failure. I don't look at it as failure. I'm like, oh, that didn't work. Let me try something else.
Exactly. I'm always like,
you don't give
okay,
up.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
No.
And it, and it almost makes you more, it makes me more determined. I'm like, I will figure this out.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That stubborn streak.
I can see you with the hands on your head. I'm going to do this.
Exactly.
I
you know,
put on my little bad girl cape. Right. I'm going to do this.
Uh-huh.
You cannot. I'm not going to fail at this.
Right. Get out of my way. I'm going to do this.
Right.
I don't care how long it takes me or how, but I will I will do it. And it's even more motivating when someone says, well, you can't do that. I'm like, oh, watch me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You get that.
Bring it on.
Exactly.
This is why we get
it's
along
a challenge.
So well. We're so much alike in personality. We really are. It's just
mm-hmm.
almost scary. I think we were separated at birth. But, you know, I love the fact that you just said, okay, I'm going to take this vast experience because, listen, my best friend does exactly what you were doing. She does a lot of traveling. You know, she's working remotely, but she's not enjoying it a whole heck of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to her stories, and she makes very good money.
Right.
But she never knows when this contract's going to end or this one's going to come up. And you know, it's just, it's a very stressful thing for her. And she's not her, she doesn't have autonomy, even though she's
right.
the boss. So, you know, every once in a while I'll say, well, have you considered doing what you do so brilliantly for other people and doing it on your own? And she keeps thinking, maybe one day I will. So she may, you know, she may one day, but you know, that's a decision that you have to arrive at. Can you do this on your own? What is your support system? Do you have the training? If you don't have the training, where can you get the training? Can you learn it, you know, piecemeal, by osmosis? Do you? What do you do? And there are so many decisions when you're making this decision to go from corporate into your own back bedroom and going, I'm building a business back here. It's scary for a lot of people. I get that it's very scary, unless you're pig-headed and you just do it and don't worry about it. Which would be me.
Yeah, like us. So, yeah, that me too.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right, exactly. You're just like, I can do this. Okay, so I interrupted, so keep on going. You've got a great, great story.
So, you know, I think, you know, and I'm sure you can relate to this, is not everybody's like us. Not everybody has that pig-headed, no offense, determination to, you know, think, you know, and I make up my mind on something, and by God, I'll get it done, however I have to get it done. But not everybody, and don't get me wrong, Denise, I had days when it was like, oh, good Lord, what did I do, right?
So do I.
You know, why did I walk away from a very, you know, I made really good money.
Right.
And, you know, why did I walk away from that? But I was just so miserable. And I'm not very good at hiding my feelings either, right? You pretty much know if I'm not happy. And I just wasn't. But you're right. You have to step back and think, well, not everybody's like me. And a lot of people just need to keep continuing to be kind of pushed forward. And even if you're making, you know, an inch movement forward, that's still moving forward. And there'll be days when you go backwards, right? But then you go, okay, well, that's a lesson I learned. I won't do that again. And then you you move on. But it's definitely, as I tell people all the time, this is a journey. Because your business evolves. I mean, I'm not a practicing VA anymore, right? I have a few clients, but I'm not a practicing VA anymore. My business evolved. And that's what I tell people, you know, today you're here, but you're going to keep evolving and growing as a person as well as your business. So things are going to constantly be changing. So you have to learn to accept change. Otherwise, you're shooting yourself in the foot because personally life is change. So, you have to be good at accepting the changes that come. And, you know, I loved being a virtual assistant for the first few years, but after that I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. What's next?
And that's not unusual in our industry. Well, you reach a certain point. I'm just about there myself, to be honest with you.
Right.
You know, you reach a certain point where you've got just so many clients and such a huge team and you're working all of the time. And there comes a point you have to say, okay, I've proved my chops. I can do this. I can do it in my sleep. But what else is out there? And we have to learn, as entrepreneurs, we have to be very agile, very. So if something comes down the pike, an opportunity comes, or you want to change your business, you need to be able to do that pretty much within 24 hours sometimes. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but sometimes you can completely change your business model within the span of 24 to 48 hours. If you're on
I
top
did
of it. If you know which,
yeah.
Me too. I've done it. You and I have talked about this off air. I have done exactly the same thing. I have changed a big part of my practice, and I'm more into mentoring now as you are. You're doing the techie part. I'm doing the kind of holistic, let's get you where you need to be part. And between us, I think we're doing a very real service to the VA community. But I'm no longer taking big clients because I would rather go in to the education part of it. We can take those years and years of experience that we had and shorten the learning curve for people coming into the industry or who are kind of stuck in the industry and say, okay, this is what we did. Kind of sucked. Don't do it that way. Do it this way.
Right.
Or, you know, this really, really worked. So, and I'm excited about it. I mean, I think there's a huge need for people to be able to talk with people like you and me who have been there, done it, work at a very high technical level. Now we can show you how we do it. You know, it's not magic. It's not magic. It's hard work. It's not magic.
It is. And you know what I've recognized, Denise, is a lot of people come from varied backgrounds. And if you've never worked in IT, you may not understand processes the way IT people do. Because, you know, in IT,
right.
Everything's a process. There's a system for everything. And if there's not, well, then you create one. So a lot of people miss that your business has to be systematized. It has to be.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not talking just about virtual assistants. I can't tell you how many clients I had that I said, okay, well, this is a mess. We need to fix this because you don't have a system. You're recreating the wheel every time you do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, but you forget. And again, just because I'm so used to dealing in corporate, you know, I was always in IT, so anybody I talked to, we were on the same wavelength. When you get into being an entrepreneur, you realize there's just so many different levels, and they just didn't understand that what a system was or how to put the system together and how it could really make them productive and efficient and make them more money. And I think that's a step that a lot of people don't get, and I think it's just based on their experience. They don't know what they don't know.
Exactly. I say that all the time. You don't know what you don't know. So, you know, being a virtual assistant, there, when you say, you know, different levels, I'm seeing it all the time in our Facebook group, and you know, I get emails from people all the time sending me their resumes, and that's a whole nother topic. Really.
I know.
I'm just not going there right now. But here's the thing. There are so many different levels of what I would consider virtual assistants or even all the way up to online business managers. I mean, some people are very, very good at, you know, working in Word and Excel and things like that. Then there are other people who can rock WordPress all night long. So there's just different levels. And it's really, I think, up to the person who is building their practice and wanting to get, you know, higher paying clients to learn these systems and these processes. You have to have the processes set up. You have to have the process set up for learning, the processes set up for dealing with your clients. So I love that part, but you must become educated. You cannot avoid this step. I'm sorry, boys and girls. You have to be educated all of the time. Now,
it's
am
a
I wrong, Susan?
Yeah, no, not at all, because you are constantly you're constantly learning as a virtual assistant. And what I've noted, and just so everybody understands, the difference between, like, I do coaching and you do coaching, but the difference between you and I in coaching is I like the newbies, right? I like the people who are just starting out and coming out, because I can relate to that. And so, you know, when I'm coaching somebody who's new, I'm saying, well, you know, you have to figure out, you know, you have to figure out what's your path. I mean, what do you want to do? What do you want to be a virtual assistant?
Why are you doing this?
But what's your why? That's the big one. And then what do you want to do? Do you want to just do Excel spreadsheets all day, or do you want to learn something like a One Shopping Cart or even Infusionsoft? And truly, you know, the more technology you know, because you're in a technology-based business, the more money you can make. And that's what I tell them. And they're like, oh, because, you know, when I started again, I paid somebody to do an HTML website. Well, you know, in the world that I lived in corporate America, we'd never heard of WordPress. Right?
Right.
So I'm like, and I could have done my own website, but I didn't, you know, I was working full time. And then I had an infant at the time as well.
Right.
And, you know, I was building a business. So, you know, I don't, you know, somebody will come to me and go, well, I don't have the time. And I'm like, I did it. And I had an infant. And, you know, I had, and you just have to, it's what's most important. You will make time for whatever it is you want. You'll find a way to do it.
You always
anyway,
will.
I'm getting off the beaten path, but.
No, and I want to circle back around to that because it's a very important part of the mindset that we're talking about. But keep on going.
Oh, yeah, and well, my point is that you have to be knowledgeable because your clients are going to come to you and ask you what you think or
mm-hmm.
what you know, what should I do? And to play into the whole mindset thing is that, you know, this is not a job. Virtual assistants, and I tell people this all the time, this is a relationship-based business. You are part of somebody's team, part of somebody's business. You are not just a one-off. At least for me, I was, you know, I had a client, my last client was my first client. I had her for almost 4 years, and
mm-hmm.
she went through everything. And the reason we parted ways is because she was going, she could see me moving away, and I could see her moving away. And, you know, we're still on Facebook. I mean, she lives in New Zealand, so it's not like I'm going to bump into her, but my point
you
is,
never know.
Is that I know. We grew together, and it was a relationship business. I mean, we're still friends, and so it's not like you're just going for a job. Because some people go get a job that they hate, or they hate the people that they work with. No, you make a choice of who you work with, when you work with, how you work, as well as what you do. So that's
mm-hmm.
a whole mind shift. You know, that's such a shift for people who have been employed. And the first year, Denise, I was in business, I squashed my personality, and I worked with people because I needed the money, because, you know, I gave up my corporate job. I needed the money, so I took anybody I could get. And then one of my clients
said, that's a very common story.
Yep. One of my clients said to me, Susan, she goes, I need to talk to you. So I'm like, okay. She actually turned out to be a friend. And she goes, you're not going to like what I have to say. And I'm like, let it go. She goes, first of all, you don't charge enough. She goes, for what you can do, she goes, you don't charge nearly enough. You should triple your rate. And I'm like, okay. And then she said, and number two, she goes, quit being so nice to people. And she got to know me as a person. She goes, you're being, you know, some of your clients are bullying you because she knew some of the clients, you know, we have mutual
mm-hmm.
Clients. She goes, you're letting them bully you and you're letting them take from you. And she goes, I get a sense that's not at all who you are. And she was right. And so she gave me
right.
a slap upside the head to say, you don't work for these people. It's your business. I needed somebody to tell me that, right? Because I didn't have a mentor. I mean, my husband was an entrepreneur for years, but he had a true business where he was out and about. He wasn't virtual. But my point is she did me such a service. And then the next day, you know what I did? I fired more than half of my clients. I'm like, done. And what
right.
I mean by fired is I basically said, you know what, I don't think this is a good fit. Let me help you find somebody who is a better fit. And I actually went out and helped them find somebody, and I offered to train and transition. And then what a difference.
Which is the way it should be done.
Was.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
I know. But the mindset, again, being a corporate and an employee, I just realized, I don't have to put up with this stuff.
and when you talk to a potential client,
yeah, you're interviewing them as well as they're interviewing you. It's a two-way street because it's relationship-based. It's not a job. And that, I think, is hard for some people to grasp. They have to hear it over and over again.
And that's what I cringe when I get resumes and, you know, the usual speak, you know, the usual.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I would be a good fit for your organization, and my teeth just clench together. It's like, really, do you even know what a virtual assistant is? Do you know
right.
that you're a small business owner? Do you know that you need to pay the IRS? I mean, what do you actually know about what you're offering to do? I don't need a technician. You know, I need people who are small business owners, entrepreneurs, to work with me. Period.
Right.
Yeah, I don't need
right.
somebody sitting at the end of a keyboard waiting for me to drop little rabbit pellets at them. I just don't. And part of, and you and I have talked about this, and I think it's very important, so I want to bring it up. Part of, for our audience today, you need to understand that if you are setting up as a virtual assistant or you're already a virtual assistant but you're not really having the success that you want, one of the big important things that you need to be able to do is, again, get away from that keyboard. You're not sitting there waiting for instructions to come. You're going to find out if you're doing your job properly with your clients that most of the time, I'm going to say 80% of the time, they don't know what they need. You need to be able to look at their business, dig, poke under the hood, see what's there, see what's not there, make suggestions, consult with them. Say, well, listen, you know, I see that, I mean, you're this great business, you're a veterinarian, you've got pictures of all of these cute puppies you take care of. Why aren't we on Pinterest with this thing? People love pictures of puppies. You need to constantly be looking at their business the way you look at your own. Move it forward, move it forward, move it forward. You're not just a technician. You are their partner in success, period. Okay, that's my rant.
Right.
You go ahead and take over now because I wore myself out.
But you are so right, and I think a lot of people that talk about resumes, you know, you're just a subcontractor. You're a freelancer. Mm-hmm. You're not a business owner. That's different. If you're truly committed to it, if you want to run your own ship, that you need to be able to, you're right, it's your business. You don't. If somebody mm-hmm. asks you for a resume, somebody asks me for a resume, I go, why? I'm not going to work for you. I'm not applying for a mm-hmm. job. I mean,
right.
You know, you want to know my credentials. You want to talk to one of my clients. That's fine. But, yeah, I know. I see that question all the time, and it makes me cringe when I say, well, you know, should I send in my resume? I'm like, no, unless you're applying for a job.
Right.
Don't do that. But, yeah, and I think it's hard. You have to be able to think on your feet, which is what I tell people. You need to be able to think on your feet because your clients will call you and say, oh, my God, you know, my WordPress team doesn't do X, Y, Z. What should I do? Because they're looking for you because you're the virtual and they figure you're the technology person. So you need to be able to answer the question or find somebody that can answer the question for you. And you're right. Mm-hmm. You need to look under the hood of their business. I mean, the first year I was in business, Denise, I didn't market. I didn't do anything. My business grew because of referrals.
Right, me too. And I don't market at all. Well,
yeah,
I did.
And
I'm always out there on social media, but I'm not actively marketing.
Right, and I still get people going, oh, you're a virtual assistant. No, I'm not. I'm happy to refer you to somebody. But every day or every week I get emails wanting, you know, me to be a virtual assistant. I said, no, let me explain what I do. But anyways, you have to be able to think on your feet and you have to be able to be resourceful, I think is probably a good way to put it. And the more education you get, the more resourceful you can become because one of the biggest things I think for new virtual assistants is confidence.
Right.
They're really shaky, but you're not going to grow unless you step out of your comfort zone. You have to be willing to make a mistake in order to grow. And if you're not, then you're stuck.
Yeah. And it's scary. You're on your own. You're working from a vacuum. You're at your kitchen counter. I mean, you and I have had the same conversation. Find a dedicated space. Don't work at your counter. Don't work in your kids' playroom. Don't work in the garage. Get the computer out of your bedroom. Find a dedicated space. Whatever that space is, if you have to build a fort in the corner of the living room and put your office in there, do that. You've got to have that dedicated space. It's so important for so many reasons. But here's the thing. If you are going to, when you're new and you're on your own and you've just left that cushy job or comfortable paycheck for whatever reason, you were downsized, the company went under, you know, maybe, who knows? I mean, there's so many scenarios. It's scary. It's frightening for a lot of people. What we're telling you is get out there, start networking with people like us, join Facebook groups, get out there, and then, before you try to take on clients, and I cannot stress this enough, figure out what the heck it is that you're doing, because if you take on a client and you totally mess up their work, or even worse, you disappear because you can't do what they wanted you to do, you have set yourself up for failure. That client will discuss it online, and you're already in trouble. Don't take on clients until you are darn good and ready and you know that you can actually serve their needs. Work as contractors with people like me. You know, find people who need 10 hours a month or 10 hours a week and do work for them. Learn what you're doing and then branch out on your own.
Right.
But am I far off?
No, you're right on the money because I think, again, I think people are going to, they don't understand what a virtual assistant is. And to be honest, I really didn't understand it until I got my feet wet and started to go,
It's tough to explain to people. My mother, I've been doing this for years. My mother, you know how I tell her what I do? I build websites. I don't even try to explain what I do. And people say, what do you do? I'm a web developer. I don't even go down the other hole. I just don't. Well, it's too difficult to explain.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, that's a whole other conversation, Denise, is when people go in to talk to, they go marketing, they start spouting off their resume. I go, people don't care what you do. They want to know what you can do for them.
Right.
And, you know, it's not like, when you were in corporate, right, somebody says, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm an IT project manager. They're like, okay, well, now
it's
you tell
label.
Somebody
they
a virtual
it.
Assistant. Yeah, right. But now you're a virtual assistant. You get the deer in the headlights. Like, well, what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you can just say something like, you know, I help online business owners save time and money through outsourcing their administrative work or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't care that you're virtual. They don't care. They just care what you can do for them. And I think
another
huge misconception for people like myself was I never knew anything about marketing. I mean, you market yourself when you get a job, and that's all I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people don't understand what marketing really is. It's not a resume.
Not even close.
Not
even close.
So there's so
and,
many,
you know, we constantly get those, and my eyebrows just raise like, okay, you don't know where you're going, do you? And I feel bad, and I always respond, I'm really sorry, we're not looking. I just had one before we got on the radio. And, you know, I explained to her that, you know, we're not looking for people. We have a full team right now, but, you know, I sent her to some places. I sent her to your website. I said, you might want to look at this and you get some further training and things that really matter to online clients, because what she had was this whole litany of Word and Excel and, you know, the whole Word suite. It's like, okay,
right.
That's great, but it's not going to get you any kind of, you're not going to get a position with another VA doing that.
No, and just knowing Word, Excel, and PowerPoint isn't enough anymore. You have to know.
Oh, no.
You have to know WordPress. You have to know WordPress. You need to know things like Evernote, or you need to know things like Dropbox, or you need to know how to use computer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just so many things. You need to know all the different tools that are used. And, again, I had no exposure to those. And, you know, my first client I got through, an RFP, a request for proposal. And, you know, I was very honest with her about what I knew and what I was doing. And she was, you know, for obviously she paid a lower rate, but I learned everything I needed to learn, luckily, really early on, because there was no other, you can learn things on self-study, but you have to have the right personality to be a self-study learner. I am,
mm-hmm.
because I used to teach software. I'm a horrible student. You don't want me in your class. I need
no,
to be
I
my
I got
own.
Kicked out of algebra.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm
no,
not.
No, seriously, they
student.
Asked me to leave because I hated it so bad. I finally just did it. I had a 4.0, and I kept saying, this is nonsense. Some guy who did not have a sex life lived in a cave with a candle, and he made this stuff up. This is not real. So they asked me to go outside in the corridor and have a talking to. And I still felt that way. It's a bunch of made-up nonsense.
That's right.
And they said, well, you need to do this to build websites. I said, prove it. And they never could prove it. So.
Oh, Denise, I sucked at math all my life. I hated math. And then when I started, I was given programming, and I'm like, okay. I understood math a lot better after I became a programmer, because now it made more sense to me, because I could put it in context. Before, I'm like, what would I use this for, right?
I know.
So I'm the same way, and now I understand math, and like my sister is a professor. She teaches math in college, so, you know, she talks to me about math, and now I understand it. She's like, where did that come from? I said, well, you know, I started doing some programming language, and I'm like, yeah, I could put it in context. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. But for most people, they really, when you're venturing into a new world, which really coming from a career into business ownership is an adventure. Not only do you have to learn the skills that you need to be a virtual assistant, you have to learn to be an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Right? You have to learn how to market.
Yes.
You have to learn how to do your books. You have to learn to deal with the IRS because you have to pay them differently. You know, all of that is just so different. And I think people think they can just, like you said, okay, I'm a virtual assistant. Let me hang my shingle out. I'm ready to go.
Right. And I see it all the time. And, you know, I'll talk with some of these gals, and you know, mostly it does seem to be mostly women. The preponderance of virtual assistants is women. And I'll say, okay, well, what do you have set up? Well, what do you mean? What do you have set up? Do you have a shredder? You know, what kind of fail safes do you have in place? What kind of systems do you have set up? Have you, you know, gotten your EIN? What's an EIN? Seriously?
Uh-huh.
you don't have an EIN. So there are so many steps that need to be taken to get yourself set up properly so you don't run afoul of the law or the IRS. You need to set up PayPal if you're going to be setting up your PayPal. That means you need a bank account. It should be a business bank account. I mean, there are just so many different things, and people just go, oh, I'm a virtual assistant. Honey, child, no, you're not. You will
no.
be, but right now you're not.
Right.
So let's
you
see
have
where
to
we
do
can,
all
you know,
those
how
things.
Do we help you to get you there? You know, how do you, and then, and this is what I really want to talk with you about, you know, you get, you know, the steps and the proper steps, and you start setting up your systems, but getting that entrepreneurial mindset is really where you're going to either make it or break it. You're not an employee. You know, you do have to be able to consult with your clients and advise your clients. And I'm going to stop right there and let you take off because I know you've got a lot to say on this.
And this is one of the things that, you know, as I said, I coach, you know, really people who are new or struggling and you know, haven't been in
right.
the business very long. And that's one of the biggest issues is the mindset. And I'm like, mm-hmm. you have to quit thinking like an employee. And it's, you know, change doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. You have to figure out, first of all, why are you doing what you're doing? Because your why is really what keeps you focused. If you have a bad day, if you, you know, somebody chews you out, if you forget something, you drop a ball, we all do it, then your why is when you stop and think, okay, why did I leave that job in the first place? And maybe it wasn't your choice, but you know, for me, it was my choice. My choice is because I wasn't going to work for anybody else anymore. I was tired of it. I wanted to control
yeah,
my own destiny.
Too.
I wanted to control my own income. I wanted to control where I live. And so for me, anytime I have a bad day and I start thinking about going back to work for somebody else, that snaps me out of it. I'm like, okay, you know what? No, failure's not an option. But my point is not everybody is that way. And, you know, I'm just one of those, as my husband would sure tell you, I'm just one of those stubborn people. If I get something in my mind, I'm going to get it done. And nothing can stop me. But what you have to do is you have to find, first of all, you have to have support. So get on Facebook, get in a group, get in Denise's group, you know, get on LinkedIn, get in a group and talk to people. Virtual assistants are very, very willing to help and to give
advice.
We're
very generous with our knowledge. We
yes,
really are.
We are. And you know, ask for help, and the only thing I can say about it is you're going to get a lot of responses, and they're going to vary, and you have to read through them and figure out what works best for you. Let me just say that. Because everybody
That's
has
true.
A different opinion, right?
That's
everybody
true.
Has a different opinion. I mean,
right.
the other day somebody posted a response to somebody that I knew, and I didn't agree with the person's response, and I chose not to respond. But the person
in the group?
Who originally sent it, in my group. So,
in your group,
you know,
okay.
Right, and I chose not to respond, and the person reached out to me and asked me what my opinion was, and I told her that I did not agree with that person's opinion. Here's mine. But, and that's a whole other conversation is getting into pissing masters on social media. You don't want to do that.
No, you don't.
well, you don't want to get
ends
pissing
badly.
Masters, period. Yes,
right.
Yes, and sometimes it's better not to say anything. And it's not that this person was wrong. It's just we had a difference of opinion. That's all. I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, get support.
Well, and I see
support
that in my Facebook group, too, you know, to just kind of go back to that point. You know, sometimes, I mean, it's a very supportive group. And for those of you who are listening, it's your virtual assistant on Facebook. We're 1,080 people, I think, right now. It's
yeah.
a very active group. You know, there's not a lot of self-promotion. I don't allow it. We're in there to get, you know, we're in there to help each other. And the thing is, sometimes, and, you know, I'm aware of it all the time. I'm monitoring that group all the time. I know what's going on in it all the time. It may not look like I do because sometimes I don't want to be the only one answering questions. I just don't.
Right.
It's not right. So I will let something sit. Like, oh, I have the answer to that. But then I'll deliberately let it sit because I know that 10 people are going to jump in with their different varying opinions. And they're all good and they're all valid. I may not agree with all of them. And some I'm like, cool. And then I'll jump in at the end and say, oh, yeah, what Tracy said. Or, you know, because you
right.
want that interaction. You want, we all think differently at different times of the day practically. So what I say may be absolutely right from my perspective, and you would do the same thing. But whoever the person is asking the question may like Deidre's answer better. It really is just going to depend on what resonates with you. So you want to get as many responses as you can and then choose the one that works best for you.
Exactly. So because you will get a lot of different ones.
You will. Yeah. You absolutely will. And there's no right, what I'm saying, I guess, is there's no right way and no wrong way. You have to work to the best of your ability. You have to constantly be improving your work and your processes and your workflow. And you need to reach out to people like us who will help you. We want you to succeed. You know, we know that there's no magic bullet. It's called hard work.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay,
well, and that,
back to you.
That's okay. I was just thinking that, so onto the hard work thing is, you know, I think, and I'll pick back up on mindset in a minute, I just think it's important for people to understand the amount of work it takes mm-hmm. to be a virtual assistant. I tell people that. I said, have you done the research to know how much it really does take? Not only are you working for others, but you're working for yourself. And if you are used to a 40-hour week, it's not, you're going to be surprised. Now, I'm not saying you work 24/7,
yeah.
but you work a lot more when you work for yourself than you've ever worked when you work for anybody else. And I worked
Absolutely.
A lot. I mean, I used to have a 60-hour a week job. I mean, I worked a lot. So you really need to think. If you can just think you can get a name and a Facebook page and a website and some cards and you're a virtual assistant and that's really all it's going to take, you're in for a shock.
Big shock. Yep.
Big shock because it is a lot of time. And it's a lot of it's an investment in, you know, yourself and your future. But back to mindset is, you have to have a support network, whether it's family, whether it's friends. And, you know, my dad was of the old school, right? First of all, he didn't understand virtual anything. And second of all, you know, he was born of the generation where you worked for the same company for 50 years. You didn't change jobs. You just stayed with, and he was a banker. But my point was, when I told him I was leaving my corporate job, which he thought I was nuts, but he still supported me. But he didn't understand. He finally says, I don't know what you're doing, but if you can make a living, then go for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But he was supportive. So you need to have, whether your family supports you, your husband, your friends, and you need to get friends that are not, if you can find friends that are not still in the corporate arena, like my friends thought I was an absolute, you know, nutcase when I left. And luckily, one of my girlfriends, who I used to work with in the corporate capacity, she was a stay-at-home mom, and she decided she wanted to go back to work, so she started a business not long after I started mine. And so her and I are both entrepreneurs, and we can talk to each other, because when you go to talk to somebody who has a job, they have a whole different mindset, and they don't truly understand what it takes to be an entrepreneur. Now, I'm not saying they're not supportive. I'm just saying it truly is a different way of life and a different mindset. So it's important to find friends and get out in your community and find fellow entrepreneurs, because there's lots of them out there,
mm-hmm.
who you can talk to. And if you have a day and you go, oh, I just need to talk to somebody, you can reach out to them on Skype or on phone or however, and they can help you stay where, you know, stay moving forward. Don't call up your old friends
right.
from your old job, and they're going to say, well, you need to come back to work. That's not the answer. Well, maybe
no,
it is for you,
not.
But for me, it wasn't the answer. So
I would rather wash dishes for somebody than get a job again. I would mow lawns.
Oh, me too. Oh, yeah,
seriously,
me too.
I am never going back into a corporate office in my life again. Not going to happen.
I rendered myself
unemployable. I mean, seriously, I cannot work for other people.
No, I can't anymore either. Yeah.
I don't think
anybody would want to hire me, because I'd be a horrible employee at this point.
Me too.
I know too much.
It's like, you want coffee? You see that thing over there? Go get it.
That's right.
I wouldn't do it. Go ahead. I wanted to ask you, though, before we get off, you know, too big of a tangent here. You have children. You had children at home when you started this. This is a very important part, I think, of the work-life balance that we wanted to talk about. How did you manage, and how do you manage to create that balance between, okay, honey, I'm in my office now. You see the door is closed. Don't run in here and ask me for a sandwich. The refrigerator's over there. How do you do that? Because I know a lot of people in this industry, whether they're a virtual assistant or they're an online business manager as I am, you know, have to say, okay, I've got to stop what I'm doing, go pick up the kids at the school bus, or, you know, my child needs to go to the dentist. How do you operate around those parameters? Because it's tough for people who have children. I'm alone. I have cats. you know, my office assistants are cats, so I don't have to worry about any of that. But I'm constantly hearing these stories make me shudder sometimes. Like, oh, geez, put up a door and tell that child that these are office hours. You know, I'm not the best person to help out with that. So maybe I would just go sit in the corner. But I'm not the best person. Right? No talking. So how do you cope with that? I mean, you're the best person to advise in that arena. I can't do it.
So it depends on your child's age, obviously. So for me, I schedule everything. You know, and obviously I have a little more. Because I remember project manager, she schedules everything.
Right.
Everything is scheduled. There's a task for everything. So everything's scheduled. So I put everything on the calendar, and I schedule as I need. As for, you know, my oldest son is going into high school next year. So he was already in school full time when I started my job. So he was, you know, I would take him to school in the morning, and then my husband would pick him up on the way home from his job. So that was okay. The little one, there were like a day or two where he would be home with me. So those kind of were my days where I did a couple of calls, but I was really just working. And it was a little harder because he was little at that point. And so I would find myself, I would actually have to work in the kitchen. But, you know, I kept him busy, but you really need to have daycare. And I had daycare except for, I think, one or two days a week. So, I mean, he wasn't here a lot of the time. Or if I, you know, we had somebody here to watch after him when he was little.
Right.
But I have an office. Yeah, and now he's, you know, 4 and a half. And, you know, he is home. My husband is home, too, which is nice because my husband works with me in the business. So the husband right now is dealing with the kids. But when he was little, you know, he knows he knows the door shut and I have a do not disturb sign on it. I mean, I took it from a hotel in Vegas, but not that I'm condoning stealing, but, you know, grab one, right, when you're at a hotel.
No, you relocated it.
Relocated it to my doorknob, and and when it's on, you don't bother mom unless your hair is on fire, somebody loses a limb, right?
Right.
And then, you know, I mean, unfortunately, there has been a time when I was on the phone and my son fell, and my husband was out, and I could hear the bang, and then I heard the scream, and I had to say, sorry, but, you know, and the client was perfectly fine with that. They understood. And that stuff happens. But if you're a mom, or you're going to have to set some boundaries, and you're going to have to set some guidelines, and you need to schedule your day. So if you have to pick up your son between 2 and 3, then you don't schedule anything between 2 and 3. If your son's home on Fridays, then maybe you don't schedule any appointments with clients on Fridays. And one of the big things that people ask is, well, what do you tell your clients your hours? Well, you can tell them you don't work nights and weekends, but they shouldn't care about when you work as long as you meet their deadlines. Talk deadlines.
Right.
Don't talk hours. Talk the deadline. When do you need this? Because if they're going to say, well, you have to do this between 8 and 9, no, I don't.
Right.
You told me I need it to you, get it to you here. So it's a shift in your mindset. It's not about the hours that you work. It's fine that your kids are around because you choose when you want to work. And you just should take client calls, when you're not going to be interrupted and make sure your kids understand that. So do it when your kids are at school or your kids are occupied, and then do your calls. Don't try to do your calls when you're trying to deal with kids or you know you have to leave. So scheduling is so key in really managing your time, because time for you is money. Right?
Absolutely,
You're working hourly. And that's another thing I'll throw out there real quick. I'd never worked an hourly day in my life, and boy, was I shocked. I was a career woman. I had a salary. Since I was 17, I was a salaried employee. I went from being a salaried employee to an hourly employee, and that was a shock for me, amongst everything else, because I'd never worked for, you know what I mean? I have the same amount of money all the time. Didn't matter how many hours I worked. So if you're a corporate person or you have a salary, you need to keep that in mind, because it's a real shift in your mindset, because if you don't work, you don't get paid. Right? If you're a corporation or if you work for a corporate, if you don't work on a holiday, you still get paid.
Right. Well, let's rephrase that a bit. You can work all day long and still not get paid.
That's true.
Excuse me, I have a cough drop, which is another topic altogether, and we're going to talk about that in another show. Retainers. You don't work on hourly basis. You don't let people pay you after you've done the work. But what I was going to say is you get paid by producing results. That's how you get paid.
Exactly. deadline-driven. I am a very deadline-driven person. So when people would talk to me about hours, I go, well, does it really matter when I get it done? As long as it's done on time, you shouldn't care when it gets done. Mm-hmm. And that's true. And for some people, it's a it's a shift for them, too, because they were in a corporate environment. So sometimes your clients just, they fall into that same boat, and you have to like, well, no, it's not based on what hours I work. It's deadlines.
And results, absolutely.
And results.
Yeah.
Look,
I've been known to work at 11 o'clock at night. I've been known to, because I don't sleep a whole lot, it's not uncommon for people to get emails from me at 3:30 because I wake up at 3:18 every day without fail. Oh. I may go back to bed for an hour or so, but, you know, it's not uncommon. You work when you want to work, when you do what we do. You work when you're at your most creative and
right.
You know, when your body is the most responsive. And it's very important, I think, to figure when those times are. You know, I have lulls and highs during the day, as I'm sure you do. I'm very, very gung-ho in the morning. Then midday, I'm wearing out. I'm tiring out. I need to go outside, dig holes, you know, go into my home gym. About 7 o'clock at night, boy, my brain clicks back on and I'm right back at it. But I can do that.
Right.
You know, it's my business.
Right.
I can work when I know I should be working, when I'm at my best and highest use, so to speak.
That's right. And then and that's so great. But the other thing I would tell people is that you have to be careful about setting expectations with your clients as well.
Yes.
So
yeah.
If your client's in a different time zone than you and they see you online at 12 a.m. your time, and like Mike, I had clients in Australia and New Zealand, so they were midday when I was at night, and then you set an expectation, so they think that they may be getting responses to their emails.
Right.
And so that's what I tell people. You really should have a business policy. You should really create a business policy and say, these are the hours, not again the hours, but you could say, I don't work nights and weekends, and that pretty much tells people, if you get an email from me, it's a one-off. It's not a
mm-hmm.
You're not always going to get one, because
right.
There are different types of clients, different types of personalities, and just like anything else in life, and I hate to do this, but it's almost like a child, because sometimes if you give a child something and then you change the rules, they fight back.
Mm-hmm.
Clients can be the same way. If you don't enforce something the first time and then you try to enforce it the second time, and they say, well, why didn't you do it the first time?
I've made that mistake. We all make that mistake. It's like, look, I'm an over-deliver. I'm an overachiever. That's just who I am. I have learned through painful experience that even if I get an email and they say, oh, Denise, can you do this? You know, can you do this today? I may have it done 10 minutes after I got that email, but I know darn good and well to not respond to that email for another 6 hours.
Right.
And I know that sounds terrible, but I will literally go into my calendar and say, respond to client number 40 and let them know that this is done. Because if I instantly take care of it, I have set myself up for being abused. That's just all there is
exactly.
to
exactly. Yeah, and that's one of the things I teach my newbies is there's really, and I hate to categorize this, but there are really two types of clients that you could deal with. There are bullies and takers, right? Ones that will bully
mm-hmm.
you. And ones that will take from
to,
you.
In my case, yeah.
Yes, and you
yeah.
have to be willing to stand your ground and say, no,
mm-hmm.
that's not how it works. And just like any other bully, if you stand up to them, they usually back down. And I'm not classifying all clients that way, but there are personalities that are that way. They're just a little
right.
bit pushy. And there are some that are just, you give them an inch, they take a mile. Again, it's just part of who they are. And you just have to be aware of those type of personalities. If you're working with them, you have to make sure you stick to your expectations, right? You stick to your guns, so to speak, because if you waver, then you open a little bit of that door for people to kind of push their way in. And then there's that whole conversation about, you know, lowering your rates because you need a client. And that, you know, that's a no-no,
mm-hmm.
too. But that's something
yeah.
a lot of people do.
Right. And it sounds counterintuitive to say, okay, I need the money. I have got to pay my car note next week. But my spidey sense tells me that this is not a good client. I'm not going to take this client. That is one of the scariest things you can do when you need the money. But if you're really paying attention, you know darn good and well that client is going to run you up the flagpole. I mean, they're going to drive you crazy. By the time you're through with them, you have made the sum total of $1.38 an hour because they have worn you out. They don't stop.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And I know it's counter to. I know it's scary to say no to people, but honestly, it's the best thing you can do.
Right.
So, Susan, speak to that if you don't mind.
I'm sorry?
Speak to that if you don't mind, because I know we have similar experiences with this.
Oh, we do. So I tell, you know, I tell the newbies, if the hair on the back of your neck stands up when you talk to somebody, you don't want to work
right.
with them.
Spidey
Listen to your body.
Yep.
Pay attention to your instincts because you're and I did this too. I needed it. It was and what he wanted done was so much fun. I thought, oh, I could do that. But I wasn't listening to that little voice saying, Susan, no, no, no. And I'm like, no, I can do this. It turned out just to be a nightmare because we just were not compatible to work together. It wasn't that he was a bad person or I'm a bad person. It just was a compatibility issue. We didn't communicate well. He liked to operate in firefight mode. I don't do well in firefight mode. But it was just, it was just a bad experience all the way around. And, you know, I ended up losing more than anything. And not only that, you know, you're stressed out, you're nasty, you're not happy,
mm-hmm.
especially when they're really just, I hate to say it, sucking the life out of you because you're letting them. Because you said yes.
And you
said
did
yes.
it. You cannot
you
blame
did.
Them. You allowed
no.
it.
Yep. Exactly. And you have to, so that's why I tell people, say no, I know you need the money. But and I'm a big believer in the law of attraction. In other words, I tell people this, if you take that client on that's a bad fit, then you've just filled a spot that an ideal person could take. You need to get rid
mm-hmm.
of them so that that spot can be filled with the right person.
Right.
You know, think of a parking lot. Right? If
yep.
you park all your cars in them, there's no place for anybody new to come in. Get rid of one of your cars. Move them
exactly.
on. Find them something better, and then let the new cars come in. And the first time you do it, it's very scary, but then all of a sudden it works, and you're like, okay, I see how this works. And it is
mm-hmm.
a whole different mind shift, and you really just have to have faith. Whatever your faith is, you have to have faith. You have to learn to trust.
Right.
And that's a hard thing to do, especially if you come from a place where, you know, you get paid the 1st or the 15th of every month. I mean, you may get nothing, and then all of a sudden you get, like, you know, depending on what you're doing, you may have no money, and all of a sudden you have, you know, $20,000. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's not the same as a job. You don't get paid the same way as a job. And I think that's what people are scared of, right? You have to learn to put money away when you have it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And spend it.
And you have to put money away for the IRS. I mean, you when that money comes through PayPal or authorize.net or whatever it is, you go, woo, that is not your money. Seriously.
Right.
You only get to keep a very small portion of it, and that's a mindset that people really struggle with that because they're used to all of that being taken out before they get that paycheck.
Right.
Now you have to look at it and back out money for savings, money for the IRS, money for insurance, money for your team. So you have to really, really pay attention to that. It's a very interesting lifestyle we lead. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you set up the processes and you set up the systems and you understand how it all works, it becomes remarkably rewarding.
Yes, it does.
And fun. But you don't take I call them, you know, the life sucker clients. You just don't take those. I mean, I recently, at the beginning of last month, let one of my high-dollar clients go. I just, my stomach hurt. The phone would ring. I would flinch. She's a lovely person. She really is. She never knew when to stop. And unfortunately
mm-hmm.
for me, I didn't put the brakes on it way early on, and I over-delivered consistently. And it was my fault. I mean, the whole debacle was my fault. And I just
yep.
said, I can't do this anymore. And I cut that client loose. And every day I come in here and I go, woo, because I'm free of that squeaky wheel client.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. It's an amazing. And then I started saying, okay, you know, now I've got room. Your parking
mm-hmm.
lot analogy is perfect. Now I've got
right.
room to help more people in my mentoring groups. They just appeared out of nowhere because somehow or another, there was a parking space there that needed to be taken, and they were going to take
right.
it. It's amazing.
Right.
It's amazing how that works.
It is. And I tell people, too, so if your phone rings and you look at it and you go, then that's not the
yeah.
right client for you.
That's,
or if
that's
you see
exactly
their email
right.
and you go, oh, God, what do they want now? That's not the right client
yeah.
for you. That's not how you want to be. You would not want someone to treat you that way. You shouldn't treat your clients that way. It's time to let them go. I don't care how much money they pay you.
Right.
It's not,
somebody
it shouldn't be about the money.
You know what?
Right?
We are just about out of time. For those of you in the chat room, we'll still be recording a little bit. You can download in just a few minutes, but we're going to lose you here in about 8 seconds. Susan, tell people where they can find you.
Find me at thetechymentor.com.
That's the best place.
Or Techie Mentor Labs. Yeah.
Okay.
Either one. So
do you
can
have
go
any...
to... Go ahead.
Go. Don't you have some training coming up pretty soon?
I do. I do have, if you go to Techie Mentor Labs, and that's Techie, T-E-C-H-I-E, Mentor, M-E-N-T-O-R, Labs, L-A-B-S.com, I do have some training coming up. So if you're really looking to move to the next level with technology, I actually have a One Shopping Cart Basics class that starts on Monday, and I have a WordPress class that starts on Wednesday. And all of our classes, if you can't make them live, they're all recorded, and you all, each one of you is going to get a sandbox, which just means you have a place to play, and so you can actually put to use what you're learning in the class. So they're all recorded. You do have the sandbox, and you also have email support for me. And the classes are live. If you can make live, if not, like I said, you can certainly download the recordings and learn at your own convenience.
I love that. And see, that's where you and I are very different, and I love that we're able to work together on this because I don't do training. I thought about it, and for some reason it was just never my strong suit. It was just not what I wanted to do. And then I found you. I'm like, all right, you know, we've got somebody who can do. You know, that's been the gap in my mentoring and coaching. I just don't do the actual training, so it's like we're a perfect fit here.
Right, and training is truly my, as they say, everybody has a gift. Well, this is
mm-hmm.
my gift. This training is my gift. It's something I absolutely love to do, and I train technology. And this will date me. I used to teach DOS. I used to teach people how to use a mouse. I teach people
right.
how to use a keyboard. So I've been training software since Windows. Actually, Windows first came out. I actually taught their first release of Windows. So that's how long I've been training software.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
My first computer was DOS. And so
yeah.
I know. I mean, I had to have it. It was a $3,000 boat anchor. But I had
to
have it.
Was
I mean,
it like
remember
a 386
how
it, or a 386?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Oh, gosh. I had the big manuals. I spoke DOS. I was just so smart. And now
I know,
I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I know. People now would just, you know, if they would have to learn DOS, can you imagine? Because everything was so visual back then. Everything was.
I know.
And here's funny. I know I go off the beaten path for a minute, but my classes for WordPress are WP. And half the time I'll say WordPerfect, and people are like, what is she talking about? Because I used to teach WordPerfect for
WordPerfect.
DOS, and the initials were WP. It's just like,
right.
Well, where did that come from? You know what I mean? It's just funny.
I know. It's when you've been doing this as long as we have, you know, somebody down here, we have a fish called a GUI, G-U-I.
Mm-hmm.
And I think graphical user interface. I mean, that's what a nerd I am. I'm like, okay. But anyway.
Right, a GUI.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is my friends are nerds too. At one point, I was when I sold my house and moved into a rent house temporarily before I bought this house. We were buying this house. I had a hard drive. It was a SCSI hard drive holding one of the doors open because it was an older house. The door wouldn't stay open.
What?
And a friend of mine came in. She goes, "Oh, you have a SCSI hard drive." And I flipped around. I went, oh, my God, who else would know that was not just a hard drive, it was a SCSI hard drive.
Right.
So.
Oh. And I always tell my husband, I said, you know, I saw Bill Gates speak once or twice when he was still really a nerd. I mean, he really was still a programmer. He was a horrible speaker. and there's like
most
30
of them
people
are.
In the room. Yeah. But he's whole, I mean, he's completely different now. But, I mean, this was, oh, my God, 20, probably over 20 years ago, and he was in a room. I mean, you could basically reach out and touch him, and he was horrible speaker, very nervous, but he'd never done it very much. And this was like Windows, like the second release of Windows, and,
right.
and you know, Word was coming out. And I remember when Outlook wasn't called Outlook. It was called Mail, MS Mail. I mean, you and I could have a whole conversation about where technology has come. But
and we're not that old. Anybody who's listening, we're not elderly. We're not. but it's just technology has moved so fast and so furious, and that goes back to what we were saying earlier. You must keep up with it. You must. And it's every day you're going to open up Twitter and go, oh, what do you mean there's a photo stream now? Oh, geez. Okay, how can I put this to work for my clients? You know, get in touch with your clients. Say, this has changed. We're going to, you know, let's talk about this. Let's see how we can make this work. You know, every time there's a change in technology, put it to work for your clients.
Right. And you have to be able to think out the box, and you have to be proactive. If you're the type, and I'm just speaking to anybody who's listening, if you're the type that you wait for things to be done, in other words, you wait for somebody to tell you what to do, you're going to have to change the way you look at things, because really being a virtual assistant is not about being waiting to be told to do something. You need to be in your client's business enough to see what's coming and be able to say, you know what, this doesn't work well. Let's try this.
Mm-hmm. And that is the difference. You just very, you know, cogently explain what the difference between a virtual assistant and an online business manager is.
Right.
I mean, we are working in our clients' businesses. We are consulting with them. We are looking at technology. We're looking at what's being done, how it can be changed, you know, how we can get more information out there to their audience. That's an OBM. That's an online business manager, completely different from a virtual assistant.
And the reason I say that probably is because, Denise, I always thought myself as a VA, but I really wasn't. I was really an OBM.
Yeah, I never was. Yeah, I was never a VA. But it was the only term that was out there, so I had to go with it.
Yeah, and so that's always what I came back to because, I know that looking at it now, because I actually looked into that whole OBM certification that's out there, and, I mean, it's great. It's a wonderful thing if you want to go that way. But when I actually listened to them talk to me, I'm like, well, I already know all this because I was a project manager in a corporate environment, and a lot of the stuff they were talking about was my job. So that's kind of like, I said, you know what, I may already be an OBM.
Well, I decided I was a long, long time ago. Susan, thank you. You've been a delightful guest, and you gave our audience so many great tips and advice on the VA industry and the OBM industry, which are two different things, really, and you know, project management. And I really encourage everybody who's listening to go look for Susan, look at her training. If you're in this industry or thinking about becoming part of this industry, join her, find her on Facebook, find our group, my group, which is Your Virtual Assistant on Facebook. And you have a group as well?
Yeah, mine is Virtual Assistant Tips and Tricks, but I'm in Denise's group all the time as well.
You are.
You can find me in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're one of the heavy hitters in there. Well, listen, everybody, thank you. You are. Everybody, thank you for being with us here today. The show will be available for download in about an hour, and you'll also be able to find it in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Susan Mershon. And thank you, Susan. It has been a delight having you here today.
It was a joy, Denise. It was really my pleasure. I had a lot of fun, and I'm always happy to have any conversations you want.
Good, because you'll be coming back. You didn't know it, but you're coming back.
So. Well, you know, I can talk, so you know what? You pick a topic, I can talk about it.
Well, between us, we can cover a ton of stuff, let me tell you. Well, thank you again.
We
can. Everybody have a great day, and I will see you next week.
Great. Thank you again, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.